You're now listening to a Word for Deliverance podcast with Pastor Leonard D. Cochran of A Place of Refuge Noonan. A Place of Refuge Noonan is located in the city of Noonan, Georgia. To stay better connected with us for more exclusive information and updates, download our church app, A Place of Refuge Noonan, or visit our church website at apor-noonan.org. Now, let's join in for today's message.
Optimism, or a person being optimistic. Y'all hang in here. My brother, count it all joy, or be optimistic. Notice when he wants the saints to be joyful or to be optimistic. When you fall into various or different kinds of trouble. Come on, I'm already teaching. And some of us know we can be optimistic as long as it's going our way. I need to say it again. Some of us know you can be optimistic, but it better be going the way you want it to go, or you can't do it. James is teaching the church that you have to be optimistic even in troublesome times. Even when you, notice his wording carefully, even when you fall into various trials. Because why is he using that word fall? Because for many of us, especially when we get mature, we're not just going to jump into trouble. So if we're going to go through something, it's going to be because we fail into it. Come on, because the older you get in life, it is about, if you will, teach it, Pastor, avoiding trouble if we can. Come on, I'm not trying to just put trouble on me. Come on, how many know when you started growing up, you started learning how to avoid certain trouble? Oh, come on, I got to say it like a shimmy. Don't need the headache. Don't need the drama. Don't need what the drama brings. Too old for it now. Oh, I see you're coming. You're bringing trouble. Stay away from me. But notice, you have to be optimistic when you fall into trouble. And so my subject this morning is simple. Be optimistic when you fall. Be optimistic when you fall. You mind telling this subject, somebody tell them, be optimistic even when you fall. Look at somebody else, tell them, say, be optimistic even when you fall. And let's give our Lord Jesus a thunderous, big hand of praise. Woo, I'm excited. Be optimistic when you fall. Lord, what a good word. I say, Lord, what a good word. The word optimistic comes from a Latin word, which is optimus. The word optimistic comes from a Latin word, optimus. The Latin word optimus means best. In other words, we are to expect the best. One word that is synonymous with the best is better. If a person is optimistic, they have the ability to expect better. Come on, I'm talking. You have the ability to, yes, be going through something, but because you optimistic, you expect better. You expect a good outcome. You're looking for the best to take place. And see, some of you are going to be quiet for a minute because I'm going to get to you. Because you're probably anything but optimistic when you fall. Some words that are synonymous with optimistic is to be confident, to be cheerful, to be happy, to be positive, and to be hopeful. When a person is optimistic, he or she is confident. How many know having confidence matters? How many know having confidence matters? Moving through life as a confident person would do you some good. Listen, especially when your confidence is not built on what you can do. But I'm confident, or I have confidence based upon what my God has shown me he can do. Why is she so happy? She know what her God can do. Oh, I'm coming your way. Now unto him which is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think. How you not gonna have confidence? I said, how you not gonna be a confident person and the God you serve can do more than what you ask? Whoa, and I love what the writer said. He can do more than what you think. How you not gonna be confident? Walking with God right produces confidence. I'm going to teach it right today. Now, we never get confidence mixed up with arrogance. When a person becomes arrogant, they stop looking at God and it's all about them. What they can do. It's all about how smart they think they are. And you see some folk like that in the church. They give testimony without giving God the glory. That's not a testimony. Uh-oh. What is that then, Pastor? That's you bragging on yourself. Oh, I need to say it again. That's you bragging on yourself again. That's you talking about how special you are again. But we need to be confident. We need to be cheerful. We need to be happy. And we need to be positive people. A true, a biblical Christian is a positive person. The only way he or she is not positive consistently is that they are a babe. They just got saved. They immature. They're still growing. They're still learning a lot of things. Or they in disobedience. Amen. And then finally, again, it is to be hopeful. An optimistic person is hopeful. Now, don't get hope mixed up with the worldly word for hope, which is wishful thinking. No. We ain't talking about that. We talking about biblical hope. And if you are optimistic, you have hope despite what you go through. Because your hope is built upon God's word or God's will. Now, the antithesis of being optimistic, now I can deal with some of y'all, is to be pessimistic, which is the opposite. To be pessimistic, or pessimism, y'all hanging here, has to do with being gloomy, being sad, being doubtful, or negative. I want to do you know any pessimistic people, any folk that they always got to be negative. Woo! I need to look at this. I need to look over here. I want to do y'all know anybody who is always negative. You ain't ever met nobody. They can always sense when bad coming. Come on, they can always sense, they can feel bad coming. Things can be going good, and then a little trouble hit, and they'll say, I knew it was going to come. I knew it was going to come sooner or later. Sooner or later. It's just my life. If it had been somebody else, would have just kept going good. Oh, but not me. Not for me. I had a feeling something bad was going to happen. But see, if you can have a feeling of bad and trust in it, you can have a feeling of good and trust in it. Come on, I got to work with this. And see, a whole lot of negativity in the spirit, spirit being the mindset, the feelings or the behavior of the attitude of a saint is not good. I need to say it again. A whole lot of negativity entering into a child of God's spirit, spirit being your mind, your mindset, your feeling, your attitude, your behavior, is not a good thing. It's not a good thing to claim to know the Most High God, but you are negative all the time. See, listen, don't y'all get mad at me. This was my problem or my concern with so many saints during COVID. When the world needed to see people with hope. Oftentimes, many of us got around co-workers and family members who knew we went to church. But you was negative around them. See, I knew it was going to get quiet. I said, you were negative around. And understand, COVID, true enough, it was a real thing. But whenever people, and this is from even a historical standpoint, whenever people are subjected to a whole lot of death, dying, a whole lot of disease such as a plague, a whole lot of sickness, and it seems like it's moving everywhere, it seems like it surrounds the person. Well, everything that's being talked about was about dying, death, sickness. Oh, are y'all listening? Disease or dis-ease. That folk didn't realize that a lot of people got traumatized during COVID. Come on, y'all just let me teach you. And many have never gotten over it. It traumatizes them. You'll often hear people who've been to war talk about the trauma they suffered once they got back home from seeing so much death, so much dying, so much negativity, so much tragedy that it took a toll, you better hear me, on their mind. And there was only one way to truly stay positive during COVID, and that was to know somebody who was bigger than COVID. Oh, I'm talking right. Come on, you can give me an amen, even if you got traumatized. It's just something about really knowing who's in charge. Am I talking right? It's like people on a job talking about this, that, and the other gonna happen. They gonna do this, they gonna do that. This is coming, this is gonna happen. But you have a tight relationship with the CEO. And the CEO is telling you secrets that everybody else ain't getting. He's sharing stuff with you that they ain't talking about in the boardroom. So that's the reason you walking around. Oh, I just dropped one on. That's when you walking around the plant so confident and everybody else is worrying and in a panic. But see, you've been talking to the CEO. So I'm trying to tell y'all why I was so positive during COVID. I kept talking to the real CEO. I kept talking to the one who was truly in charge. But again, a whole lot was happening in COVID. That even till the day, some saints are still not in their rightful place because of what that time period did to their mind. Some of y'all don't like me to go back and talk about COVID, but I have to. Here at the church, there were certain people who got upset with me because I wouldn't enforce social distancing. You know, they wanted me to be the one in charge of telling saints, rebuking saints for hugging each other, for daring to get within 6 feet of each other. Pastor, you need to enforce social distancing. Can I drop one on you? I wasn't led to do it. I wasn't going to never do it. I can't tell a brother of faith not to hug or greet another brother of faith if they ain't scared. It's amazing how folks shout, well, the pastor ain't supposed to control people. Well, why you want me to control you? And see what's coming out now, you can read it. Dr. Fauci and the person in charge are now admitting publicly, it's documented, that social distancing was not science-based. Remember how they kept telling you the whole time, trust the science. I'm going to teach. If y'all get mad, I'm going to still teach. They kept saying, trust the science. Science meant evidence. Trust the evidence. Now they're coming out saying they lied about their so-called evidence. But see, what God wanted saints to do in the midst of COVID is just be optimistic. Be cheerful. Keep your joy. I know it hits your house, but keep your joy. Stay positive. Some of y'all ain't clapping. Ooh, I'm making some folk. And when you really went back at it when it was hitting hard before they put it back in the bottle. Y'all will get that later on. Before they put the real thing back in the bottle. Because this ain't what was. To actually turn on the news sometimes. I had to detox myself from the news. It was too much. You were seeing folk. And one thing about the news during COVID. I got to hear it move on. They suppressed everything that was good. If good news were trying to get out, they suppressed it. And everybody wanted to just focus on the negative. Every negative story was headline news. Y'all know I'm right about it. If somebody died, that was front page. But if somebody beat COVID, you didn't hear about it. And I never forget that, but because it caused you to have certain conversations with people you're close with. And I never forget sitting there, me and Donna watching the news one day, and they were just talking about how many people were dying. And how when they was dying, loved ones couldn't stay in the room with them. Y'all remember this? How you had to drop your loved one off. Not one person could stay with them. Their lungs collapsing. They on their deathbed, but nobody who loves them can be around them. You had to just leave them there. And then they start telling all the horror stories of people dying in rooms because of the nurse shortages. That nobody went back to see about or check on. And that was dealing with folk mind as far as like, I don't want to die like that. Well, I never forget telling Donna one time we were watching. I said, I'm going to have to detox from this. I said, but let me tell you something, Donna. I said, now, because me and her have certain conversations. I said, now, you know, if something like that was to ever happen to you, I mean, we need to know what to do. I said, because I'm never going to leave you. I'll sign a waiver. If I have to, I'll roll you out myself. But we don't depart. We stay together. The Bible said nothing but death will separate us. And so if I got to sign a waiver, you go home with me, baby girl. And I'll do the best I can. But I gotta be able to look you in your eyes. I gotta be able to touch you, hug you. I said, so I wouldn't leave you. And I was waiting on her to say the same. She just kept looking. I said, I wouldn't leave you. She said, you know I wouldn't leave you. I said, I said, because if you did, I'm going to pull a Samson. I'm going to be laying in that bed, and I'm going to say, Lord, strengthen me one more time to pick up this phone and hit her in the back of the head when she leaves. Just give me that strength one more time. And y'all don't, I ain't smiling. But see, listen, COVID traumatized people. People in the church found out that they were not who they claimed to be. People found out in church they were not on the level they thought they was on. And pride kicked in. And folk were not just scared, but they became ashamed for being scared. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? But see, again, the one thing the world needed and still needs it is light. Whenever darkness is such as it is, the world needs light. Hold on, I'm about to go on. And the darker it gets, you need to know this about light, the brighter light shines. But see, we can't shine like God wants us to shine if we don't learn how to be optimistic even in troublesome times. See, it's when we go through certain trouble that's when certain people will put their eye on you. Somebody know what I'm talking about. You'll be surprised. Folk will watch you more closely. Oh, I'm teaching so good. When you're going through things, more so than when you're on the mountaintop. You'll be surprised at people in your family who know y'all in the valley, they watching you. Seeing how you gonna respond. They seeing how you gonna act. You've been quoting all them scriptures to us, but yet you behaving like us. Come on, somebody. So in order to be optimistic, we can't slip on that little word, be. Because be actually means, number one, to exist as being. Or to simply exist as. Be optimistic. Exist as. Which means that some people have to come into it. Oh, come on, somebody. I said, what do you mean? Some people have to come into it. This needs to come forth in your life. You need to be optimistic. Because in one sense, it's no sense in telling somebody to be what they already. And so when you talk about being something, when you talk about existing as something, you're saying to some folk that it's time for you to come into this. It's time for you to take this on. Can I teach right? You can't just take it on at church. Come on. If the only time you happy is when you at church, something's not right with you. Because that means you're the total opposite at home, on your job, and in public. That really says about you that when you come to church, that's not really you. That's not really you. You'd be surprised how many folk come to church and you still ain't seen the real one. I say you still ain't seen the real one. But Pastor, I've been going to church with her for years. Yeah, but you hadn't seen the real one. She makes sure the real one doesn't come to church. The real one can't come to church. That's when sometimes you don't see them at all because they can't control it. So they just skip church all together. And then they pop back up. See, they back in a place where they can fake. They back in a place where they can pretend. Good to see you. Good to see you. I'm blessed and highly favored. And you a big time liar too. That's what you want to tell them. Come on, somebody. But listen to me. Listen to me. Because this is a good teaching. Be also means that a person can already be there. But the important thing, if you're already existing as, this is so important, is that you learn how to maintain. How many will testify that sometimes you have to be more diligent at maintaining a place or position? You have to fight harder to maintain a place, a position, than you fought to get in that place or in that position. Oh, I'm teaching so good. That's when so many folks are get in a place, but they're not able to maintain that attitude. Because sometimes I found this out through the years of pastoring and maturing in God, that there were certain places I just desired to get to, that once I got there, I started fighting stronger demons. I started fighting stronger enemies that wanted to move me. Oh, that's the problem with some of us. We want to ascend to a new level, but we don't want to face new devils and new enemies. The higher God takes you, the more powerful he allows your enemies to attack you, to oppose you. Now think about a person who's on one level being attacked by things, but they're still fighting like they still on another level. Are y'all feeling me this morning? See, you're about to lose your place. You're about to lose your position. See, it ain't nothing like a parent, being a parent. And you're always giving other folks advice about how to deal with troublesome children. See, but it's amazing because you have the best advice when your children doing well. Come on, I need some real parents in the house. I say, I need some real parents in the house. See, because there's going to come a time as a parent when you going to have to be optimistic when the child you brought in this world, the one you've been good to, is being anything but good to you. And see, if you ain't careful, the advice you gave other people . See, the problem with a lot of y'all, you like to be counselors when everything wonderful in your life. Oh, you got the best advice. And anybody just know somebody like that? You ain't got to call their name. Come on. Come on, I'm just asking if you know him. You ain't got to look at, don't look nowhere. Just look at me. Don't look nowhere. How many know some people like that? They always got the best advice, listen, for others. Are y'all with me? But see, understand this, if you're taking notes. Optimism and pessimism cannot coexist. Come on. Optimism and pessimism cannot coexist. Will y'all hear me? Therefore, a person must choose what they're going to be. Now, James is talking about it when things are not going the way we would desire for them to go. But yet we are still optimistic. Pastor, I'm still happy. I'm going through a whole lot, Pastor. But I'm still hopeful. Pastor, I'm still expecting better. Come on. If I'm talking about you, just wave at me. Say, Pastor, you talking about me. That's how I am. That's how I am. Hands down. Now, that's a whole lot of hands raised then. Notice James 1. Yeah, that was a whole lot of folk raising their hand then. We got to look at this. I said, we got to look at this thing. James 1. Woo, we got to walk through this thing. See, because James talking about being optimistic when you fall. Having a good attitude, even when you know you just got turned down for something you really wanted. I mean, no, anybody can have a good attitude when you apply and get approved. This is the reason you don't have to teach folk to smile when they get blessed. No, you don't. You don't have to teach folk to be happy when they receive it. But you do have to teach them to be happy when they give it. See, it got quiet then. Notice James 1. Yeah, it got quiet then. See, this word is tight. Because it's checking some of us. Who know that during troublesome times, you're not optimistic. You're not optimistic. And if that is the case, listen to me carefully. People who really know you know that you're not. Come on. Mainly people who live with you. Because most of the time, people who live with us see us the most. That's the thing about living with people. It's like a marriage. When you marry a person, you get all of them. Come on, you don't get a third of them. Come on, you don't get them on their happy days. On you don't get them. Y'all. Come on, somebody. See, sometimes my married folk just shy away on me. I don't know why y'all do that. When you know I'm speaking true. If that person a big time snore, you get all that. Come on, somebody. I said, you get all that. But people who just look at them, I'm finna move on, would never think that a person so pretty, so precious, can I teach it right, can make those kind of noises. Look at James 1. Y'all know I'm talking right. Y'all know I'm talking right. See, because there's a whole lot of folk think me and the only one that's know. I got to move on. Woo! Woo! Somebody need to just help me say, woo! Boy, here's some women to chop wood. Come on, woo! 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 I'm trying to move on, but woo! I ain't calling no name, ain't no attention, no woman in here getting upset. And if your husband started looking at you doing this little segment, you need to talk to him. You need to talk to him. Notice, come on, y'all. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes. Notice which are scattered abroad. See, what is taking place is that the 12 tribes, the brethren, are the saints, are in what is known as the dispersion. Persecution has hit the church to the point to where saints are fleeing their homes. Listen, and their land. Not because they want to, but because of heavy persecution. James the just, James the apostle, James the mature one, writes to them at this time, and you have to discern his attitude. Because, see, if you ain't careful, you'll be going through it, and you won't understand a person who's optimistic, know you going through it, but they won't feel sorry for you. Come on, somebody. They refuse to throw a pity party with you. Come on. If you ain't careful, you'll start saying dumb stuff like, they don't love nobody. They don't understand what I'm going. No, they understand what you're going through. That's the reason they're not going to feel sorry for you, because God has ordained this trouble in your life to elevate you. And if they start feeling sorry for you, David said, I once was young, but now I'm old. But what did David say? But I never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed. Y'all better come on and help me preach it. When you know stuff like that, even when you're going through, the last thing you want is for somebody feeling sorry for you. Oh, I just called. I know they say it's looking real bad for y'all. Hey, I don't know what you done heard, but God is still moving over here. I don't know what you heard, but we giving God the praise for the good that is manifesting. You got me mixed up. You must think I'm a silly person. We don't yet give God the praise over here. I don't know what you heard, but praise is always in order. See, the reason some of you are not clapping, it's because you love for people to feel sorry for you. Do you know it's when you are in your most challenging moments that people who really love you and want to see you get all God has for you, they have to push you. They have to challenge you. Come on. They have to speak to the God in you. Come on, somebody. I know I'm teaching right. And sometimes you have to talk to people based upon what you know God has for them. Amen. See, if you really know God has a certain thing for a sister, it's no way you gonna let that sister be anything but optimistic. Why is that? You don't want to see her miss. See, don't you ever feel sorry for me, because I'm not gonna miss my blessing. That's what you're saying. You can miss blessing being pessimistic. Yes. Because if you stay pessimistic for too long, you're going to find yourself depressed as well. Am I teaching right? But notice, James, we getting some good stuff this morning. I said, we get some good stuff this morning. James said, knowing. Oh, wait, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. But even before he says that, even before he drops that on them. It's a little word that we sometimes miss, that I almost miss. He first says to them, greetings. Which is a happy salutation. Oh, y'all, come on. Y'all ain't tired, are you? He said, greetings, my brother. They are scattered. They're facing the most heaviest persecution that they've ever faced to this point. And James is saying, greetings. I talked to Pastor, told him all that was going on. Only thing he said was, God is in the midst. I left his office like I understood what he was talking about, because I know how Pastor is. So I just left. And I'm like, God is in the midst. I wanted to ask him, why this happening to me? See, because I'm telling you, sometimes when people are optimistic, if you don't fight to get there as well, you won't understand their speech. You won't understand it. You won't understand. You'll think they're uncaring. Remember how them disciples acted when that boat was overflowing with water and they woke Jesus up in a panic and they asked Jesus, of all people, carest thou not that we are perishing? What happened to them, boy? They became pessimistic. In the midst of that storm, they became pessimistic. And see, that's when pessimism shows up. Tell that to your neighbor. Say, that's when pessimism is really on display. Tell your neighbor, it's doing storms. That's when it's truly put on display. Is in a storm or doing trouble. And listen, y'all, guess who knows that? James. James knows it. Notice what James said. He said, my brethren, count it all joy. Be optimistic. Even though you have fallen into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces, listen y'all, patience. The testing of your faith produces endurance. Do you see it? But let patience have, notice what he wants, it's perfect work. See, an optimistic person is going to allow patience to work on them. Tell it to somebody. Say, an optimistic person is going to allow patience to just work on them. Ooh. This somebody word, it's going to work on you. And when patience starts working on you, don't you move. Don't you run. You got to stay there and let patience work. Whoa. Come on. Stop praying God move it. He ain't going to move it. You got to endure it. You got to let patience work. Can I be honest with y'all? There are some things I prayed in the initial state for God to move some stuff. He didn't move it. And now when I look back, I can say to y'all, I'm glad he didn't move it. I said, Brother Daniel, I'm glad he didn't move it, because it made me the man that I am. That's what you mean, made you the man you are. I'm battle tested. There are certain things and certain positions God can't elevate you to until you become battle tested. Oh, y'all hear me? I'm almost in the close. Until you become battle tested. Notice this. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be, notice this, perfect, mature, that you can come to full age. Notice this, complete. You're going to be whole. You're going to be sound. You're going to be unbroken. That's where he wants you at. He wants you to the point to where, yes, you have been laid off. But he wants you saying out of your mouth, I ain't losing nothing. I ain't losing nothing. The same way he took care of me when that check was coming in, he gonna make sure that money is coming from somewhere. Yes, he is, because he take care of his own. Somebody there right now, you going through some trouble, but you letting patience work. But when you pessimistic, you are anything but sound. You are anything but whole during troublesome times. Notice what he says. He said that you will be lacking nothing. Let patience work. So that in the end, you will lack no thing. Come on, I got to break this down. You are going to be tested, approved, and ready for service. Do you hear me? When you're lacking nothing, you have been tested, you have been approved, and you're ready for service. I often look at certain biblical people and just, I used to just wonder, how could they be so optimistic going through that? And I don't know about, I don't know if y'all are the same, but in my young days when I first got saved, I used to elevate certain biblical characters or biblical people to superhero status. Come on. Some of y'all feel what I'm saying. I just look at him like, well, he would just, you know, come on now. Yeah, like he's just something special about him. Like you can't expect to be like that. That, I mean, you talking about Daniel? Come on now, you can't be like Daniel. Until God said, wait a minute, son, you better understand. If I'm gonna take you to where I want to take you, you gonna have your lines then. Come on, somebody in your lines then right now. But you know what you can testify? Just like Daniel did, the lions are not eating you. That means you going through a whole lot of trouble and not being consumed by it. You better preach that thing, Pastor. Yeah, that's your den. Come on, somebody. But think about it. He had to exist. I'm almost done. As an optimistic person, when friends and associates set him up. Folk he thought he was co-workers with, co-laborers. You feel me, Sister Keisha? Set him up. Not to just lose his job, to be killed. He's on his way to the den of lions. And not them po-headed lions we see at the zoo. Who look like they wouldn't chase a biscuit. See, some folks, when you teach this, they think about them lions up there at the zoo. Y'all done been up there, they won't even get up sometime for you. How many of you have been to the zoo, seen a lion and heard him roar? See, I've never heard one do it. They all look sickly. But in Daniel, listen, in Daniel, those lions was trained to be men eaters. You know, you go to the zoo and see lions, they just be sitting there like, what is it? You like, move, do something, chase something. I'm in the close. This word is important. How was he able to be optimistic, headed to a den of men-eating lions. If that would have been us, some of us, we'd have been on our way to that lion den, cussing them folk out who set us up. Come on, I just got to be honest. Some of y'all would have been. You. Oh, I know it was your. You so and so. Why? Because we would have been pessimistic. We would have been thinking, this is the end. This is how I'm going to die. This is how I'm going to be taken out of here. Daniel was headed to the lion den. Just as calm. I got to move on. Same with the Hebrew boy. Facing a fiery furnace. But telling a king, notice that our God is able to deliver. So optimistic that they said, but if he don't, we still won't serve you. In the close. But there are so many voices in this world today who want to show people, teach people how to live a trouble-free life. Tell your neighbor, there is no. You got to say it like that. Tell your neighbor, there is no such thing as trouble-free living. Come on, somebody. Life or living, if you take your notes, life or living equates trouble. Only thing it takes to go through trouble is to be alive. There are no perfect jobs. I'm leaving here. Why are you leaving? Trouble. Where you going? I'm going over here. You know what's going to be over there? Trouble. I'm leaving the church. Why are you leaving the church? I'm going to another church. Guess what's going to be at that other church when you get there? Trouble. I'm divorcing them. I'm looking for somebody else. Guess what? When you find somebody else, you found trouble. There are no trouble-free marriages. Oh, there are no trouble-free marriages. And can I preach it right? Sometimes trouble show up on the honeymoon. You ever had trouble show up on vacation? Trouble is a part of life. I'm preaching hard. Some of us had our cars break down on the way to vacation. Now let me ask you something. Is that fair? Is that fair? Didn't have but $500 spending money. Now all that's going to go to repair. Is that fair? I mean, back in the day, we was on a vacation. This is the truth. Didn't have no credit cards. Didn't have no money. We had $350 for spending on a trip. But we needed a rental car. Had to use the debit card. See, this taught me back then. Had to use debit card. The person said, hey, we got to put a hold on it. And I was just like, hey, put a hold on it. I said, it's good. She said, okay, she said, hold this, $275. I said, two. You know how you try to play, so I said, hold up for a minute. I went over that down. I said, they're going to put $275 on it to hold it. I said, how much did we have in there? We got $350. I said, the $350 we thought we had just turned into $75. Is that fair? Ooh, I know I'm teaching right. Ministry, trouble. Sometime in your finances, trouble. Things already tight. Hold on. Thing tight at the house. Already tight. You go in there and put a load of clothes in. Just a simple load of clothes. Here you go. Trouble. Y'all ain't never did like I did. I'd be like, and this a doggone Maytag. Sickness. Come on. I'm going to close. I got two scriptures and I'm done. These lying doctors, not all of them, not all of them. These lying herbalists, people who try to pretend that if you just buy their book, if you just take their herbs, and I know herbs is for the healing of the nations. But let me tell you something. In this body, sometimes you can do all you know to do. And some of us need to eat better. Come on, I'm teaching right. More pastors need to teach like I'm teaching this morning. You can eat right and still battle sickness. You can exercise and still battle sickness. You can be overweight and battle sickness. Can I teach it right? You can be skinny and still battle. Well, if you just lose so many pounds, your body, it ain't gonna make your body perfect. I'm not saying it won't help some, but that's not the cure all. Why? Because in this life, sometimes we gonna do all we know to do and still battle in these fragile bodies. Well, Pastor, I eat everything organic. Even if that's the case, they paying the workers $1 an hour to harvest the organic stuff. What if he out there peeing on the organic? I hate to say it like that. I just this is 100% organic, but the workers peeing on it. Think about it. $1 an hour. What you gonna do? You don't care. That's your organic. Sometimes we do all we know to do, yet we are still battling in these bodies. And the older we get, the more fragile these bodies become. And what you used to get over in a couple of days is with you a month later. I got the clothes. Some of y'all gonna see it. I'm just in my 50s. You bump that knee in your 50s, ain't like you 16. Them old folks, you say, go to your bones. I'm closing. But trouble is a part of living. Now, I ain't even had time to deal with it from a Christian standpoint, because that means that Christianity, biblical Christianity, is a suffering way. So we're not only going to go through things just because of life, but then we're going to go through trials as Christians. But tell your neighbor, only thing Pastor wants us to be in the midst of our trouble is that when we fall, be optimistic. Be optimistic about it. I'm going to give you two scriptures and then we're done for today. Remember, optimistic meant hopeful. Two scriptures and we're done. Have you been helped? Yes. Have you been helped? Yes. Romans 5. And sometimes y'all know we do this thing when we're going through trouble where we look at other people thinking that they're not. Don't do that. Don't do that. Because everybody experiences trouble. Everybody. Everybody. Young folk experience trouble. Are y'all with me? We closing. Everybody experiences what? Trouble. Now, I went down in doctors and herbalists because some of us, we need to eat better. Some of us need to stay on top of our health better. But just living in this world, man, you just going to battle sometimes in your body. And when you're battling in your body, don't get down. Don't become pessimistic. Be optimistic, even though you're hurting in your body. Don't let everybody know when you're battling like that. Some of us, we can just be going through a little bit, just walk up on four. Oh. And as soon as they be like, what's wrong with you? Oh, Nathan, why'd you say that? My God, could you look like you about there? And see, I don't even like to be around people like that. My, are you hurting that bad? And let me tell you something. Who you hang with matters. You're not going to stay optimistic hanging with pessimistic people. Look at Romans 5. Yeah, we're coming in. Long message. Romans 5 and 5. Listen, you got to listen to this. You got to listen to this. You know, some of you, you just, every little thing you go through, you just want folk to see it on you. Hey, stop all that. Stop all that complaining. Folk ain't got to know every dime you got in your pocket. They ain't got to know all that about you. How many learn how to be optimistic with nothing in your pocket? Broke. Broke. People don't, I mean, broke as far as like a certain amount of money. But you weren't going to let people, you weren't going to go around people acting all down and pitiful. Come on, somebody. I ain't going to act like that. I'm going to hold my head up. And know God going to take care of me. This is a good word. Because sometimes you may be in a situation where you God got you going through something you may not have in your account all you want in there right now. But don't be pessimistic about it. Because there's always somebody who has less than what you even have. Don't do that. Even if you can't do what somebody else can do. Don't get pessimistic. You ain't on that level yet. But be happy about what you can do. Oh, this word is so good in the church. Because somebody, at the moment we can't do what somebody else do. I could never afford a pocketbook like that. Let's tell the truth. If you could, you wouldn't keep it clean. You wouldn't take care of it. Tell the truth. In other words, you got some people, they go around looking for something to get down about. Romans 5 and 5. They got another car. Girl, don't get pessimistic. And see, when you're walking with some of your folk, you got to just tell them sometimes. You know somebody ain't got something new. You got to just walk with certain people. Just tell them, say, girl, don't look over there. Keep going. Don't look over there. You don't listen. Don't look over there. Don't look over there. Don't look over there. What? I'm taking, don't look over there. Whose is that? That's a so-and-so. Oh, she thinks she all that. She ain't that. No, girl, that's you. Romans 5, that's you. Romans 5 and 5. We got to go. Now hope. Does not what? Disappoint. Hope does not what? Disappoint. Tell your neighbor, if you learn to be optimistic, when you fall, you won't be disappointed. Hope does not disappoint. Stay optimistic, even though you're going through something, God ain't going to disappoint you. Oh, that was a word for somebody. I said, God ain't going to disappoint you. Stay cheerful. I know you're hurting right now in your body, but God telling you, hope does not disappoint. You're going to get stronger, brother. You're going to get stronger, brother.
You're going to be better after you come out of this, brother. Sister, you're going to get the man God wanted you to have. So go ahead and rejoice. Hope does not disappoint when you see your ex shout in his face. Shout in his face. If you're walking and you see him at the mall, you say, oh, there go Joe.
Oh, Jesus.
Now, Joe gonna sit back. He gonna be like, I told you she crazy. Romans 8. This is it right here. This final scripture. Man, when I'm teaching y'all, I live. I stay optimistic. I fight to maintain it. Whoa, I say I fight to maintain it. Romans 8 and 24, and then we done. Notice something about biblical hope. For we were saved in this what? Y'all at Romans 8 and 24? You ready? For we were saved in this what?
Hope.
Tell your neighbor, hope saves.
Hope.
Tell somebody else, hope
saves.
Tell somebody else,
hope
delivers. See, what did God say? Be optimistic because deliverance is coming. It ain't going to stay like that. Deliverance is coming. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God shall deliver him out of what? Them all. See, but you got to stay optimistic. Hope saves. Being optimistic when you fall guarantees that a saving or deliverance going to take place. Come on, let's stand and give God a praise.
Pray that you are blessed by today's message. Be sure to listen and share other messages available through our podcast outreach. We thank you for all of your past, present, and future support for our ministry. And remember, Jesus is a refuge.